Remember, whatever discipline you're in, whether you're a musician or a photographer, a fine artist or a cartoonist, a writer, a dancer, a singer, a designer, whatever you do, you have one thing that's unique. You have the ability to make art. Sometimes life is hard. Things go wrong in life and in love and in business and in friendship and in health. And when things get tough, this is what you should do.
Microphone check, 1, 2, 1, 2.
Make it.
Microphone check, 1, 2, 1, 2.
Don't get alarmed, you did tune in to the right podcast. This is another episode of the What Is TWS podcast, and I am your boy Jay Flan. This is just, this is a special episode, maybe the beginning of a new series. I don't know. I just had some major events, you know, take place in my life, and I kind of, you know, as the intro said, you know, when things go wrong, you know, when everything's not working the way you want it to work, sometimes the best thing is to do is this, to fall into your craft, to put that energy someplace positive. And some of the most beautiful works of art, you know, has ever existed have come from pain. So right now I feel like I'm at one of the lowest points I've ever been in my life, and this is going to be my therapy. This has always been what this podcast has been to me. It's kind of been my place to vent and to be as open and honest as I can possibly be. And, you know, because that is how I learn to cope. You know, once I can own and erase the shame of whatever my situation or shortcoming is, then I'm able to face it and move forward. So, yeah, I'm hoping that, you know, if I share my process with you, that's going to help me. And then maybe somebody listening will find something in it as well. So, yeah, to get into it, I guess we're calling this Evening with Flan, The Road to Recovery. And I guess the title and everything will make sense as we go along. But, like I said, this is the lowest point in my life, and I kind of put emphasis on that evening with Flan and not an evening with the Flans, because the major event for me right now is that due to, you know, I don't know, years of fucking up, and my wife had to make the decision to remove herself and my daughter from the house. And nothing official, or, you know, not saying that we've split or our marriage is over, but we are not in a good place right now, and it's because of my actions. I take full responsibility for everything that happened, and if you know me, you know that my wife and my daughter are the two most important things in the world to me, and it's weird saying that right now because I let something that shouldn't have meant a thing to me get in the way. It's like I got to be careful when I say things. I'm like, that sound like you cheated. That sound like he let some thought get in the way of his marriage. Now it's probably worse than that. Because in addition to the fact that my wife and daughter are not in the house right now, I'm also having to face the fact and acknowledge the fact that I am an alcoholic. And it was alcohol and the lying and the deception that I used to try to hide my alcoholism from my wife that has caused the rift between me and her, and, you know, kind of the I don't want to say the breakup of our family, but we're not whole right now. I'm not whole. So but in no way, you know, am I trying to make myself the victim. Like, I'm in a fucked up place right now. I don't think I've ever felt like this before. I'm hoping to make it through this podcast without breaking down on y'all, but I had to do some creative editing if that happens. You hear breaking the music, you know what went down. But I'm not the victim at all. I deserve this, you know. My wife is doing what she has to do for her and the baby. And guess what she had to do for me, because you know, there may have been some things I would have never come to face, and some steps I would have never taken until my back was put against the wall. And so here I am, and this is going to be my road to recovery. You know, if anything I've learned over, you know, my 35, 36 years of life, it's been that I fall hard, but I bounce back every time. So I'm coming back, and I'm gonna share this journey with y'all as I try to come to terms, you know, with my alcoholism, and try to prepare my broken home. So I want to start first by kind of, you know, acknowledging everyone that's, you know, that's called and text me or message me, Facebook message, whatever, you know, trying to reach out. I'm an asshole. Like I haven't responded to people. I'm in my hole. Like I'm in my sunken place right now. And so, you know, I just want you to know that I see it. To be honest with you, you know, one of my greatest flaws is that I don't like to take help. I don't like to ask for help. I don't like to be felt sorry for. And then in this situation, you know, there's nothing to feel sorry for me for. Like, you know, these wounds are completely self-inflicted. And, you know, so I'm really not into hearing the, you know, it's going to be okay. Hold your head up. Stay strong. You know, it's not like I'm sitting here thinking, like, I know the best way to get out of this situation is if I just fall apart. Like, if I just fall apart, that's going to solve it all. Like, I'm not, you know, whoever has those thoughts. So I know, you know, you mean well with this stay strong and all of that, but, you know, like, there's nothing you can say to make it better. There's nothing you can tell me. Like, I know what has to be done to get me from here to better. And right now it's about execution, and you can't talk, you can't give me words that are going to execute anything. It's got to be something that I've got to do. So, you know, I had to go back into my shell. I had to regress a little bit and step back. And this is me kind of stepping forward again and saying, okay, you know, steps need to be taken. Doing nothing is not an option. So, you know, in addition to other things I'm doing to try to, you know, get myself back on track, I also need to get, you know, back to doing this. So here I am. But again, I hear you, and I appreciate it. I'm just, you know, I'm just not ready to talk. When I, you know, I hit you up, you know, I'm ready to talk. And, you know, feel free to ignore me then. It's all good. All right. But I say that I don't like accepting help, but I am seeking professional help this time. Doing it my way so far has not worked. So it's time to try something else. It's time to try somebody else's way. So yeah, I am seeking professional help. And what I want to say to people is that that, you know, making mistakes is human. We all make mistakes. We all, you know, we all fall off the path. We all mess up. You know, we all have our flaws. I think the issue comes in with procrastination. Procrastination is like, that's where the evil takes hold. You know, when you make a mistake, if you can identify the problem, if you can figure out why you made that mistake and start taking steps toward preventing yourself from making that mistake in the future, then you're good. But when you hesitate and you allow that mistake or that problem to gain momentum, you know, that's dangerous. And that's what I did, you know. I think I identified the problem a long time ago, but I hesitated. Nah, I can handle this. I got it. It's not a big deal. You start rationalizing. Now, you know, right now, if you know you got an issue that you need to take care of, whatever it be, just stop the momentum. Take one step, you know, toward rectifying it. I ain't trying to preach. I'm just like, you know, learn from my mistake. I'm in a fucked up place. I don't wish this on anybody, so... You know, if there's anything I can say to prevent you from ever getting here, that's my goal. So, all right, man, it's getting heavy. So, what have I been up to since all this has happened. I'm trying to get myself back busy, you know. Trying to focus. The house is empty. Ain't gonna be no interruptions in this episode. Nobody running in. Excuse me. Man. Nobody running in the room. Jeez. I should have got some water. Nobody running in the room and no crying or anything from outside. It's just me in here tonight. It's just me. I got the lava lamp going with some J Dilla in the background. It's just me. Sucks. All right. So, yeah, I've been trying to get back to being busy. Still had things to do for my probation. So I've been back at the Goodwill doing some community service hours. And that, you know, that has been crazy. I was there over the weekend, both Saturday and Sunday. And both days, I ended up with the same crew. Like, for some reason, you know, the same people there was Sunday. Same people that were there Saturday showed up Sunday. And it was just like, I met this one just, I don't know what to call, like a hippie philosopher. Dude, like 26, but I don't know. Yeah, honest to me, like he felt like he was full of shit. Like he just knew how to like throw a statistic out there that nobody probably, you know, had the wherewithal to question. Like we don't know well enough that it's wrong, but it sounds like you could have made any number up. But dude just talked and talked and talked the entire time I was there. Like he just wouldn't stop. And controversial topic after controversial topic. Like if you're doing community service hours with some people, number one, if you're at the Goodwill doing community service hours, that means you're on probation. I mean, or you're doing, you know, you have something to do with a criminal matter. You know, most of the people that are there for the DWIs. I forget what he said he was there for, but apparently he didn't do it and he's getting it expunged and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, it's, I mean, you know, so much. But we just there to get our hours in, dog. Like, we can talk about football or I don't know what, anything other than like religion and existentialism and Trump. Like, you know, like we're in a public place, though. We're in a workplace. Like, I don't know. So that just, you know, but he's 26. The other dude that was there with me was like 16. So I'm feeling like the oldest man on the planet right now. Yeah. You know how depressing it is when you start like telling your personal business to a 16-year-old? Like, it ended up me and him being like the last two there, and you know, ended up talking to him about my situation with my wife and stuff like that. That was a low point, folks. Talking to a 16-year-old about how I fucked my marriage up. But hopefully he learned something. It's all so the kids can learn. I'm just trying to teach. I'm just trying to spread the knowledge. Let's see, man. The other crazy thing about being at the Goodwill is I don't know what it is about people and the stuff they think they can give away. Like, people were trying to give away toilet seats. And somebody came in there with a filled out workbook. Their child's workbook. They giving away books, but one of the books is their child's school workbook with their name on it and all the pages filled. The fuck? Why would you? What can you? Somebody could sell that to somebody? What? Like, the Goodwill is not a trash can. You just don't empty out your attic and just throw everything at the Goodwill. Like, they don't want the toilet seats. They don't want your pre-filled out books. You know, the strange stuff that you bought. The guy there, one of the managers there, his theory is that Goodwill is in a fairly well-off neighborhood. And so those people, they get rid of stuff so they can buy more stuff. They don't throw it away. They just come to Goodwill, like, drop it off, and then go buy more stuff. So we got a lot of crazy stuff while I was there. People trying to drop off boxes of candy. Like, I don't know. I saw things I didn't want to see. One couple pulled up and had the flatbed of their truck full of clothes, and then spent the next like half an hour outside of the Goodwill sorting out what they wanted to give away and what they didn't want to give away. Like, so yeah, that's been my time recently, trying to fill my time with stuff like that. You know, get some treatment, go to some meetings, working on myself, working on getting better. All right, so this is going to be a pretty short episode. You know, I'm not sure what I'm going to do with this. I'm not sure, you know, I want to continue it on, talk about what's going on with me during this journey. But I'm not sure if it's going to be like a, It might be an everyday thing. It might be an every week thing. It's probably going to be a couple of days before I do this again because the holiday is coming up. I'm going back home for, you know, Thanksgiving and the weekend. My wife and daughter are already there. So, you know, hopefully get to spend Thanksgiving with them and see my family. You know, well, they're all my family, but see my mom and sister and nephews and nieces. So it'll be, I don't know if I'm looking forward to it. Like, you know, this is my first time facing everyone. You know, and as much as people have told me, you know, it's all love, we all family, and nobody's here to judge. Like, you know, you're always your worst critic. Like, I'm judging myself. I feel like a piece of shit in front of you. Whether however you are looking at me, this is the way I'm looking at myself. So, gotta find a way to shake that and try to enjoy the holiday. You know, for my daughter's sake, be there for her. But man. Can't tell you that I'm 100% looking forward to it, but I'm getting on this plane tomorrow and I'm going, and I'm hoping that everything goes smoothly. Hope everything goes well. All right, so I'm gonna finish it out with what I'm gonna call Flan's advice. My mother always told me that smart men learn from their mistakes, and while wise men can learn from the mistakes of others. So I done made a lot of mistakes. I'm about to drop some wisdom on you. I'm trying to help y'all learn from Flan's mistakes. Right. So my main topic on this one is going to be the fact that men need to stop trying to lie to women. And I'm saying this as a person who has been an habitual liar to his wife for God knows how long. But we gotta stop trying to do it because we suck at it, and it's never gonna work. You're never gonna work. First of all, the only time you get away with a lie, or you think you get away with a lie, is because the person you lied to wants to believe what you said. It's not because you said you came up with like the perfect lie, and she was like, "Man, I can't even find no holes in that." Is she didn't look hard enough because she didn't want to find holes in it. She wanted to believe you. And so she took it and she ran with it. But other than that, you know, we're not good at it. You know, and I've learned that over the years of trying to do it and just getting caught. And I don't think it's because I'm a bad liar. I think it's because there's a fundamental difference in the way men and women think. And it creates for situations where, you know, where lies just don't work. They just don't work. I think when you're a young dude, you feel like, you know, if they can't prove it, I can say whatever. Like, and as long as I stick to it, then I'm good. Like, you know, my girl saw you at the club last night. I wasn't there. But she saw you, but I wasn't there. But she saw, no, I wasn't there. Like, you know, like we do them dumb types of lies. And then, you know, like I said, eventually, sometimes they take it because they want to believe you. They know it ain't true, but they want to believe you. And then eventually, you know, that falls away. And you gotta face the music. But here's the real situation where I think we get messed up. I think when you get older, you start smartening up a little bit, and then your lies become more sophisticated, more complex. You come up with a lie before you do the dirt. Like, you ain't even done what you're gonna do. You've already figured out what the explanation is gonna be, you know, after you do it. And you know, we work hard on it. We work hard on it. We try to sit down and think every scenario and every question that we could possibly be asked. Like, you know what I'm saying? Okay, if she asked why this happened, I'm going to say that. Okay, and then she asked. And we sit, like, it's like doing pulling an all-nighter for an exam. Like, we are studying these questions. We rehearsing them. We got our shit down pat. We done set it in the mirror a couple times. So, we know, we got the facial expressions. We know exactly how to make this look real. The thing is, again, like I said, men and women think differently. So it's like studying for an exam, and then you get there, and none of the shit you study for is on the exam. all of the things we thought they were gonna ask, not the things that they ask. And then you start lying on the spot. You know, you come in there waiting for her to ask you where you was at and what you was doing, and as soon as you say I was over here, every time you go over there. You take your hat with you, but your hat been on the couch for 5 days. So where was you really? And then you know, now you got to come up with a reason. You ain't think you had to come up with a reason why you ain't had your hat on. now you fumbling, like you know, and then they catch you in their spontaneous lies and it's lost, it's over, they got us, it's done. Then they start asking you questions based on your answer to another question, which was a lie, like a spontaneous lie, and now you got to try to defend a lie you just made up 5 seconds ago. It's not worth it. We can't do it. They're better than us. And we've turned them into these, you know, Batman, Dark Knight type detectives. Where they, you know, we've done this with some of the stuff we put people through. I've done it. I've turned my wife into that kind of, Sherlock Holmes, you know. And in the terms of some battle, the more she catches me, the more sophisticated I have to be to try to not get caught. I just give up. Just give up. You know? It's much easier on the conscience. It's much easier overall just to tell the truth. You know? And I'm coming to that realization now. Even with the stuff that I was doing that she didn't like, it probably wouldn't have reached this point had I just been honest about it. Maybe she would have went and helped me get help or something. But I think, you know, the lying, the consistent lying, you know, and I've never, you know, this is not a situation where, like, I've never cheated on my wife. I ain't never put my hands on my wife. I provide, you know, for her and my daughter, you know, very well. I'm a loving father. This really comes down to, you know, dishonesty and dishonesty, you know, purely about alcohol. But that's all it takes. If somebody can't trust you with one thing, they can't trust you with anything. And I tried to rationalize that in my head, like, I only lie about alcohol. But, you know, if somebody can't trust you with one thing, they can't trust you with anything. All right, so my last word of advice, and this has nothing to do with anything we talked about all night, but my last word of advice is to Uber drivers. Because I've dealt with this a lot recently. Because, you know, like I said earlier, I don't want to talk. I don't want to interact. I'm not in that mode. So Uber drivers, if you pick up somebody and they get in your back seat, you know, for me, if I get in your back seat, that means I don't want to talk to you. So you ain't got to engage me. I'm trying to sit back here. I'm trying to, you know, look at my phone, listen to my music, stare out the window. I don't care. Fall asleep. Whatever. I don't feel like being talkative. And then if you ask me something and I give you a couple of one-word answers, catch the hint and keep it moving. You might get a better tip that way. You should try it out. I don't know. I'm just saying, people, I'm tired of, you know, I get in the backseat and then they just want to spend the whole ride like chit-chatting about whatever, this, that, and the third. And I'm, though, if I wanted to talk to you, it's a difference if I get in the front. Like, you can't get in the front and then not speak. Like, not talk. You can't sit directly next to somebody and pretend like they're not there for the whole ride, you know. But if I get in the back, yeah, I am, because I'm trying to put some separation between me and you. So I can. This is a taxi situation. This is not, you know, just two people driving together. Get me the way I'm trying to go. You get your money. I'll pay the money, and we part ways. Transaction finished. So that's my advice to Uber drivers. Please just shut the fuck up and drive. But in the spirit of Thanksgiving, I guess I'll talk about what I'm thankful for. I'm thankful for the opportunity to get better. I'm thankful that this thing, this issue with alcohol didn't take my life, that it didn't cause me to take somebody else's life, and that there are places and programs out there ready to help me get past it. And I have a family that is supportive of me and willing to help me get past it as well. Thankful for my wife and my daughter. And I'm thankful that my wife had the fortitude to do what she had. Is that the right usage of the word? I'm going to go around with it. The fortitude to do what she had to do for her and the baby. You know, she's an excellent mother, and she's protecting her child and protecting herself, which was my job, and I failed on it. So yeah, on that note, I'm also thankful for all of you for just listening to me. I know this probably hasn't been the most entertaining episode, but I'm working through some things. Roll with me for a second, all right? So until we speak again. Be safe and be the light. All right, peace.